The Lord calls us during these days of awe to experience things that seem to be contradictory. On one hand, we're supposed to be very sober and examine ourselves and to be introspective. And in a sense, to be brutal with ourselves, ruthless with ourselves, not ignoring anything, paying close attention. The problem with doing that is it can wear you out. It can steal your joy, especially if you recognize things that you've struggled with for a long time and you still have not made the progress that you wish you had. So it's important for us to understand that on one hand, there's this sobriety, but on the other hand, there's something else that God wants to give to us. It's the joy of repentance. It's the joy of turning to God. It is the joy of being honest with God and open with Him, cleaning, if you will, the slate, and starting fresh with Him. That's why this is a time of new beginnings. It's a time when you and I are supposed to understand that God has called us into His kingdom. For some reason today, I felt I wanted to count the number of monarchies in Europe. If I counted correctly, there are 11 monarchies that are currently in Europe. Each one of them has a king or a queen or a prince or princess who's ruling over them. And God, at Rosh Hashanah, wants to be recognized as a king. Now, his kingdom is not of this world in the same way that other kings try to rule over this world. His kingdom is a greater kingdom. His kingdom is a better kingdom. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His kingdom is a permanent kingdom. And his kingdom is very serious. And yet, if that's all you think it is, you will die with a narrow religious view. In one place, the Bible says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and what?
Joy.
Are you sure?
Yes.
And joy in the Holy Spirit. And so we learn something about God's intentions for us. He wants us to experience His righteousness, His holiness. In Hebrew, the idea of righteousness is very broad. It touches righteousness, it touches justice, and it touches charity as well. So the righteousness of God's kingdom causes us to want to do justly towards other people, to make things right, to help them along, to stand up for the oppressed, to protect the widow, the orphan, to seek the good of to little children. Right? To seek the good of every age. And this is why our congregation reflects that diversity of people. We have young and old. We have tall and short. We have people from many different countries, many different backgrounds. We have rich and poor. We have well-educated and barely educated. We reflect great diversity. We have people who were born in the United States and many who were not. But what brings us together is a love of God and a commitment to God. And a desire to seek the heart of God in order to express to a world around us the love, the power, the justice, the goodness, and the holiness of God. How many of you think that the world needs a little help right now? Are you sure? It's not just going along fine? It needs help. But don't worry, there are politicians. They're going to take care of everything. Sometimes I think that some of the politicians believe they've already run for and been elected almighty. Enough about politicians. I don't want to depress you. But there is an almighty God, and he has a kingdom, and he is the king. And on Rosh Hashanah, we are declaring, we're recognizing his kingship. We are saying he has sovereignty, authority in our lives, and it is good for us. All the ways of living that disregard the authority of God, these ways are foolish. These ways are naive. These ways lead to sorrow, not to joy. We serve a God who cares so much about us. He desires that we would experience the fullness of joy that he has. And I want to speak to you about something that brings joy to Yeshua. How many of you would like to make the Lord happy? A good third of you. That's great. Imagine next year we could be up to 40% who want to make God happy. Yeshua told a mishal, it's a parable, about how repentance brings joy in heaven. We can read about this in Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 3. It says, Yeshua told them this mishal, this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Let me just stop here. Are there any shepherds in the room? How many sheep do you have? 4. If you lost one, would you go looking for it? Good. Congratulations. If he has 100 sheep and he loses one of them, does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and then he goes home. And then he calls his friends and his neighbors together. Remember, this is a mishal. This is a parable. It's a good story. He calls his friends and his neighbors together and he says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who don't even need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one of them. If it were modern, we could say, and suppose you lost your keys. Let me just ask, how many have lost their keys in the last month? Can you raise your hands, all of you? And how many of you found your keys? Congratulations. That's why you're still smiling, right? Okay. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and she loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, with that in mind, this may make you uncomfortable, but I want you to check out someone to the right or left of you and see if they're a sinner. Just see. Nobody up here on my side. Scripture teaches us, all of us are sinners. But what about Moses? Why didn't he go into the promised land? It's because he sinned, the Lord said. And I think through that example, we see that God wants us to understand that even the best of us fall short. But what about the high priest, the one who goes into the Holy of Holies at Yom Kippur during the days of awe when the temple was standing? Surely he was without sin. No, even he had sin. Before he could go in, it was necessary for him to confess his sin. to confess the sin of his family and the sin of all Israel. Even the high priest is guilty. So now you can smile at the person sitting next to you and know that they, in fact, are sitting next to a sinner. That person sitting next to you is sitting next to a sinner. And so when we come to God, we humble ourselves and we stop lying to ourselves and to God. We stop saying, oh, you know what, I'm really good and I'm right with God. We examine ourselves. We look again. We look again. We look closely. We look carefully. And we examine ourselves, and then we humbly come before God, confessing our sins, knowing that he is righteous. He will, in his justice, forgive us of our sins, and he will cleanse us of the unrighteousness, but we have to repent on his terms, not on our terms. It requires honesty. It requires faith. It requires communicating with God, admitting to God even the things that are disturbing to ourselves. We must learn to tell him the truth, because he will tell us the truth. When we come in that way, he's ready to rejoice with us. And not only is he ready to rejoice, but he's ready to be joined by angels in heaven who rejoice over us. Now, with that in mind, I want to ask you something. Do you desire to see anyone else come into the kingdom of God this year? Do you desire to see other people who have been separated from the love of God or unaware of the reality of God? Do you desire that anyone come? And if so, I want to ask you to take a moment right now and pray with me. Think about that person. Think about those people who you desire to see come into the kingdom of God. And think about yourself as well, because maybe you're someone who's got one step pointing in the right direction of the Lord, but you really haven't fully committed yourself to him. You haven't fully turned. This can be a day of turning for you. It can be a time when you say, Lord, I've been on the fence. I've been half in, half out. I'm ready. Let's pray now. Lord, you are a God of mercy. And you rejoice when sinners return to you. And you're like the one who's looking for even the least, the smallest one who would turn to you. It brings you great joy. Lord, let it be the case that our hearts are turned to you. Lord, let this be a time of being straight with you and going with you. We are asking that you would pour out that gift of repentance that leads to life, so that we could have real life. And Lord, we lift up our loved ones, we lift up our friends, we lift up those who we've been thinking about, whose names come to our mind, whose faces come before us. And we ask, God, that this year would be a year of new beginning for them, and that you would give us opportunity to bring good news to them, to share good news with them, to lead them even to you. That we could rejoice, that you could rejoice, and that they could rejoice. We pray this in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Close this is the Tiki Agadola, and the last one is blowing. And you hear my wonderful, long-winded shofar person, then I invite you all to stand, those of you who have shofars, ram's horns, and join in. Thank you.
Tekiah. Shevarim.